Farmers Alley Theater will begin its new season in early October with a fresh new production of Lerner and Lowe's Camelot. And from there, you'll just have to stick around to hear what happens next. I'm with Rob Weiner and Jeremy Koch of Farmers Alley Theater. Rob and Jeremy, thank you for joining me at WMUK.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Kara. Always a pleasure.
Rob, season 12 here. Just a moment ago before we went on, you said this is a full-time, year-round theater. So you never really quit.
Yeah, we never really do. You know, we just, you know, came off our small little summer break before when Avenue Q closed, and now we're gearing up to open up our 12th season with Camelot in just a few weeks. So there's a handful of downtime days, but it is West Michigan's only year-round professional theater, and we're entering season 12. Jeremy, can you believe it?
Cannot believe it. Could not be prouder. Just really grateful to the whole, you know, Kalamazoo community, the greater Kalamazoo area, and all the support we had from our wonderful patrons to, you know, businesses that support and the organizations that, you know, give grants or other types of funding. I mean, it's really amazing that we've got, you know, such support.
Yeah, you know, once a theater hits 5 years and can go beyond that, it's sort of a nice benchmark to clear. And now that we're in season 12, I feel like we're really starting to get a great handle on our footing, just strengthening, growing as a company, bringing in more professionals and artists who can take ownership in the product that we're giving out at Farmers Alley Theater. You know, 12 years, it's almost our bar mitzvah, so we're almost, you know, a full adult in the community. You know, there's a saying that says, first you make it, then you have to master it, then you can matter. And I feel like we're right in that mastering / mattering phase right now where, you know, proof of concept is set. You know, I think people trust Farmers Alley Theater as a brand, but I still think that people are learning about Farmers Alley Theater and will it take to get them to come out to a show. And we think that regardless of what your tastes are, there's something for everybody on this amazing slate of program we've got for season 12.
And so thanks to you, Kara, and yeah. MUK and Western Michigan as a whole for helping us spread that word and, you know, get that new wave of audience members to come through the doors.
We get, you know, actors in our shows, not just from the West Michigan area, but from all over the country, New York City, Chicago, California, everywhere. And they have such an affinity for this community. And it is a small world, entertainment-wise. And I feel like Farmers Alley Theater is really getting a reputation as not only one of the best professional theaters in the state of Michigan, but just in the country. You know, people don't have to go out and say nice things about you, especially in the, you know, entertainment field. People are very easily can be say not nice things about
That's
you
right.
if they aren't true. And we have so many actors who we've gotten in touch with based on recommendations from previous folks who have come and done a show for us. Or we've got someone who was in a show 3 or 4 years ago. He said, hey, I saw this show on your season. I really want to come out and audition for it. Or, hey, here's this dream show I'm hoping to do. You know, why isn't Farmers Alley Theater producer or something like that? And that's, I want to say, probably the most rewarding is that people that don't have to, you know, that aren't were not part of your family came in to be part of your family and will continue to be part of Farmers Alley Theater's family even after their show is concluded.
Out there endorsing mm-hmm. Farmers Alley
right.
without even your knowledge.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to cover the entire season of Farmers Alley Theater. There are some prestige projects, some surprise announcements, as well as children's theater. But let's start at the beginning, back at Camelot.
Absolutely. Well, we start with the classic story. So we're going to visit King Arthur and Guinevere and Lancelot, but we're going to scale it down. It's a new version. As you know, most people listening probably know, Farmers Alley is a little bit on the smaller side. And so to do a big, lavish production like Camelot seems a little strange. But I think, Rob, we're making a name for ourselves in, you know, taking those larger musicals and bringing them, you know, shrinking them down a little bit, not in terms of quality, but in terms of, you know, the number of actors or, you know, the set pieces, et cetera. And so that's exactly what we're doing here. So you get this wonderful, beautiful, lush score that many people are familiar with, If Ever I Would Leave You, the title song, of course. And you get that score, but we are going to take 8 actors and really focus on the love triangle.
What's so exciting about like, sort of the nature of the landscape of theater nowadays in this, whatever, 21st century, post-21st, you know, sort of everything is, you know, on Broadway, in a way, the Broadway shows are getting really huge and big. But then there are other shows that have a very smaller cast, you know, under 10 actors. And those are the plays that are getting produced very popularly regionally. And so what's so unique about this particular production of Camelot, and so smart, I think, you know, I'm not sure what, you know, this is not something that we created. This is out there to That's be, right. You know, licensed. And instead of doing this big production of Camelot, there are a lot of smaller, you know, black box theaters like Farmers Alley Theater who would love to produce something of that, produce the show, but not of that size and scope. Right. So I think they're smart to produce this chamber version, you know, pare down the orchestra, pare down the cast, as Jeremy said. And so even if you've seen Camelot before and think, oh, I don't need to see it again, this is a brand new way of telling the story. And that's what we're doing with a couple of our shows this year. It's maybe something that you're familiar with, but a really unique, never-before-seen way that it's put on stage.
Yeah, because ultimately theater is storytelling. And so we've had a lot of patrons say, you know, I really, really understood the story better, or it really affected me more deeply because I was right there. I mean, one of the best things about Farmer's Alley is the intimacy and the up-close nature of it. And so the audience is almost like the final cast member, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're right there, you're seeing actors' eyes and expressions, and you're really hearing the nuance of their voices. That is what we are trying to do, is tell the story in a different way, and hopefully it affects people on a deeper level because they are so close.
Jeremy, do you have a favorite song right now, or the one that's going through your head that I could play from Camelot?
I think we should go with If Ever I Would Leave You. I think that's probably...
I knew you were going to say that.
How'd you know?
Come on, I mean, is like a Lancelot
you know.
Wannabe right here.
You know, maybe someday. Maybe with like Camelot, the golden years.
Camelot Senior.
If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in summer. Seeing you in summer, I never... with sunlight, your lips red as flame, your face with a luster that puts gold to shame. But if I'd ever leave you, how could it be in autumn? How I'd leave in autumn, I never would know. Sparkle when fall nips the air. I know you in autumn, and I must be there. And could I leave you running merrily through the snow, or on a wintry evening when you catch the fire's glow? If ever I would leave you, how could it be in springtime? Knowing how in spring I'm bewitched by you so. Oh no, not in springtime, summer, winter, or fall. No, never could I leave you. Could it be in springtime, knowing how in spring I'm bewitched by you so? Oh no, not in springtime, summer, winter, or fall. No, never could I leave you.
The 12th season of Farmer's Alley Theater opens with Camelot on October 4th, and I'm with Rob Weiner and Jeremy Koch to talk about this whole new season. So What follows Camelot after the October run?
Well, the next main stage production that will be occurring after Camelot is our holiday cabaret. And we've sort of been famous at Farmer's Alley Theater. What we do is we take out all the risers and rows of seats and put in tables. We serve desserts and coffee along with the performance. That's all included in the price of the ticket. It really makes a wonderful sort of alternative for families during this time of year. We're actually opening a little earlier this year on November 22nd with a staged version of It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. And we are so excited to sort of take this nostalgic holiday tradition and put these new twists to it. So the story of It's a Wonderful Life that we've all seen on TV thousands of times comes to life as a radio play with actors sort of playing George Bailey and Clarence and all the characters, Mr. Potter, throughout the script. We also have live Foley artists doubling as the actors who are going to make sound effects, you know, with real physical tools, and you get to see that right in front of you while you're eating your pie and drinking your coffee and whatnot. So there's going to be some musical elements to it as well. So even if you've seen It's a Wonderful Life on TNT a thousand times, this is a brand new sort of way to get this story. And before we even get to Jeremy, we are thrilled that Jeremy is going to be playing the lead role of George Bailey in the show. And we've got a fantastic group of local artists, including Lori Moore, Michael Ray Helms, Ron Senners, Brian Ponzi, Kate Thompson, Hal Hobson, that fills out the rest of the cast of actors / sound effects makers. Couple that with the music, the dessert, the coffee, there's not going to be a better holiday night in Kalamazoo this winter.
Well, that's right, Rob, and I'm so happy I'm just going to bust. Okay, I'm not going to do that.
So just because Jimmy Stewart plays George Bailey doesn't mean you have to do a Jimmy Stewart voice.
Okay,
I hope that
fine. Wasn't
a decision that was... Sandy Bremer, our director, forced you into.
That was for comic effect, Rob. That was just for you, Rob. No, I will be doing my own take on it. But I do love the movie. I do love Jimmy Stewart as an actor, and I'm thrilled to take on this role. I think it's obviously, you know, clearly iconic, and I feel like it suits me, and I'm really excited to dig into it with Sandy. And I do want to give an extra shout out to some of those actors like Mike Helms and Ron Senners and Hal Hobson, because they're part of the All Ears Theater. And so a lot of people listening to this may be thinking, oh, Foley artists and a radio play.
Exactly.
And they might start thinking about All Ears. And that's one thing that Rob and I and Adam did, is we sat down and thought, okay, what's the best way to tell this story? And we started thinking about, you know, Foley. And then it was just a natural progression to say, why don't we talk to some of the folks over at All Ears? So we're thrilled to have them on board and to help tell the story and to do the Foley. And I think it's going to be really special.
Well, we may have to tape it for WMUK broadcast, too.
I think we should.
It would be fun.
Let's do it.
Jeremy, no worries. I think George Bailey is a perfect role for you, because I always am thinking, what is my life like if Jeremy wasn't part of it? And then, of course, I realized that it would be not as full as it is today. So,
Kara, go to commercial. I have to talk to Rob privately.
This is the story of George Bailey, citizen of Bedford Falls, New York. George Bailey, who more than anything under the sun wanted to see the world, the wonderful, exciting world that lay somewhere beyond the limits of his hometown. Oddly enough, this story does not begin in Bedford Falls. In fact, it doesn't begin anywhere in the world. It begins in heaven, where the superintendent of angels has just summoned an apprentice angel named Clarence.
Oh, I'm really going down to Earth, sir? Oh, how splendid.
Yes, there's a very discouraged man down there, Clarence.
It's a Wonderful Life starts November 22nd and continues through December 22nd, a full month, unless it's longer.
It could. We've been known to extend those holiday
That's
shows.
That's true.
Well, and now we're in the new year, and you're going to get started on the main stage with a show called The Cake.
Yes, The Cake is this brand new, I would say, a dramedy. You know, if you want to use that term, written by Becca Brunstetter, who's one of the showrunners behind the massive popular television hit This Is Us. And if you're unaware of This Is Us, it's the show that your, you know, aunt is crying to every Tuesday night on NBC. No, but it's extremely well written and witty. It's about a woman who runs a bakery in North Carolina, and she's, I want to say, probably around like 60 years old, and her friend's daughter, her friend passed away, but her daughter, who's her friend's daughter, who she sort of treats as her own daughter, almost like a goddaughter,
right,
comes back to town and says, "Della, I'm getting married. I'm so happy, and I want you to bake the cake for my wedding." Della's very excited, of course, but then realized that her goddaughter's has a partner who's a woman, an African-American, and that stirs a lot of emotions within her, whether or not she's going to bake this cake for her wedding. So it's sort of quasi-ripped from the headlines. But it's a really, I want to say, whip-smart and even-handed look at that kind of relationship and the relationship, you know, that someone has with their faith and with their point of views and what we do for the people that we love. I want to say it's probably going to be a Michigan premiere if it's been done in the state. Otherwise, I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But we're really, really excited to bring this to life in February.
Yeah, you know, Della is a traditional North Carolina type woman. And the great thing about it, and what, you know, what This Is Us and Becca Brunstetter do so well, is, you know, they really dig into those relationships. And so you're going to get a really up close and personal look at the life of these four people, Della and her husband and the goddaughter and her, you know, soon to be new wife. And, you know, what's great about this play is that it really, like Rob said, it's even handed and it gives you a glimpse. And she really questions herself, you know, her faith, you know, her upbringing in the church says that this is wrong, but she really has to look deep and say to herself, why is that? You know, is that really what I believe, or is that just kind of what my parents or my priest told me? You know, and she really digs deep to decide for herself if this is something that she can do. And so I really think that that's going to be one of those shows that we're also are sometimes known for, where our audiences, you know, they really think and they really talk about it afterwards, and you know, maybe the whole car ride home they're continuing that conversation. And so that excites us too here at Farmer's Alley to get people really engaged and thinking and thought provoking.
When does the cake start?
The cake opens on February 7th through the 23rd. There's a Valentine's Day show in there as well. So you know, this is probably the show of the season that I'm looking forward to the most, because like you said, Kara, I love the shows that invite conversation, you know, similar to Doll's House Part 2 or Doubt or Curious Incident that we did last year. I think this is one that's going to be really unique, and I look forward to, I'm sure we'll probably have a talk back or two with this production to able to converse and really hear from the audience as well. That's really exciting.
What was the one, it starts with a D, I'm thinking Defiance, Denial,
Disgrace.
Disgrace, thank you.
Yes, that's another one, of course.
Speaking of disgrace, that sort of lends itself towards our part of our mission, which is to tell stories from many different communities, right? And so the cake deals with, you know, issues from the LGBT community. And I just want to say that we are extra committed to, you know, offering a theater of inclusiveness, and that's not something that's ever going to go away.
That's on the table every time you get together to discuss productions and ways to present them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, I think the world is really doing a great job right now, you know, than ever, I think, of representing and telling people's stories. And going back to the storytelling that you talked about earlier when we talked about Camelot. And there's, regardless of what you may personally think, you learn so much when you get to step into somebody else's shoes. And I think theater is an absolutely amazing venue to be able to do that.
Agreed.
I mentioned classics as part of your series this year. I think Lost in Yonkers would qualify for that.
I think absolutely. So. I mean, kind of a modern classic, but yes, I mean, I think it probably premiered in the early 90s, right around then. So mm-hmm. I guess that's a classic nowadays. That's almost 30 years ago, right?
Award-winning, Pulitzer Prize winner, Tony winner.
I mean, we all were affected when Neil Simon passed away last year, and we wanted to put something on the docket to sort of honor him as sort of one of our modern American, you know, genius playwrights. And looking at his catalog of shows, we felt that Lost in Yonkers was his masterwork, and just am extremely thrilled to produce it coming up in March of 2020.
And we had never done a Neil Simon play before.
I know, amazing.
And it was kind of surprising to us. We were like, oh my gosh, how is this possible? But this just really seemed to fit in. And we didn't really necessarily come up with a specific theme. But the more I look at some of these titles, you know, and I know this is, it's pretty easy to apply this word to a lot of, you know, movies or TV shows or you know, pieces of theater, plays and musicals. But, you know, love is sort of a, you know, a central theme this year, I think. Searching for love, looking for love. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that certainly holds up here with Lost in Yonkers.
What is it about again?
So Lost in Yonkers tells the story of right in the sort of the tail end of World War II, when two teenage boys go to live with their stern grandmother in Yonkers. Their dad is going away to make money. Their mother had just passed away, and so they have to live with their German grandmother and their Aunt Bella, who is has the mental capacity of a child, even though she's 35 years old, and it really turns into Bella's story from there on out, and her longing for independence from her mother, her longing to be a part of the world. She has this amazing zest for life and positive energy, even though, you know, people are making fun of her on the street or even in her own home.
That's right.
And being mistreated by her own mother. It's a beautiful story. It's very, very funny. But then when Act Two comes around, there are some really just gut-punching, poignant, emotional moments. And going back to what Jared said earlier, when we have a smaller, you know, 100-seat house right in the living room of that family's home, and you've got Grandma and Bella sort of doing this sort of punch back and forth to each other, it's going to – the tension in that theater will be very high, and I can't wait to produce this one. You know, I have a relationship with this show. I've actually been in it twice before, at the Kalamazoo Civic. When it first became available, I was one of the boys. I was Jay when I was about 13, 14 years old. Then I want to say about 15 years ago, sort of like mid-2000s, they produced it again, and I played Uncle Louie, who's sort of the humorous gangster that teaches the boys a thing or two. Actually, this time around, my brother Adam's going to be directing it, so I'll probably be his consultant or something, unless he wants me to play Grandma. I don't know. That's something that's possible.
You know, anything's possible in the theater.
It just needs to be a new role.
Yes.
We don't want to reprise anything.
I can't reprise anything just because of conflicts or whatnot, but it's one of the greatest scripts of the last 30 years for sure.
And I think it's extra powerful and poignant when seen through the eyes of those kids. Mm-hmm. You know, a 15 and a 10-year-old boy, it just adds extra power.
I'm with Jeremy Koch and Rob Weiner of Farmers Alley Theater, and we're going through the 12th season, which is starting in October and continuing through August. Now, I already know that in April and May, the Gilmore Keyboard Festival is back in town. And in years past, you found very creative ways to collaborate with the Gilmore Festival, the common denominator being music, being a piano, usually, of some kind.
That's right.
But certainly a musical performance.
That's right. Well, we are grateful to partner with the Gilmore Festival, as we've done so the past, you know, few seasons. And this year is no different. We have decided to tell the story of a classic American icon, Billie Holiday. And so we'll be presenting Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill, April 24th through May 10th. It's really a play with music. It's basically a big monologue. It's almost entirely a one-woman show with a few lines of dialogue from Jimmy Powers, her accompanist. But it's really her story, and it's tough. It's gritty, you know. She had a rough life, and that history is where that voice comes from. You hear that voice and you hear the depth of soul and the depth of emotion just coming through every time she sings, every time Billie Holiday sings a song. All right, I think our audiences are going to be blown away. It's extremely powerful. You know, there's certainly some light moments, but to really hear her story and really her telling it, you know, we're going to bring someone in who's going to channel Billie Holiday and embody that soul and that spirit.
If you wonder why I'm near you, even though I've been denied, I'm inclined to be a little on the sentimental side. I suppose I should forget you if I had an ounce of pride. But I guess I can't help being on the sentimental side. I should act gay, laugh it off and say farewell. Say it just didn't wear well, but I'm not that way. I'm in hopes you'll think it over and perhaps be satisfied with the simple sort of person on the sentimental
Starting June 12th in the Farmer's Alley season is a production I feel like I've been following news of for a few years now. First of all, the name Steve Martin was something that caught my eye. And then Edie Brickell, whose music I loved, the fact that they collaborated on a Broadway show stuck in my head. And then it turns out there's a Kalamazoo connection. I'll have you take it from there.
There is. It's pretty special. Getting those two, you know, iconic people together is pretty special in and of itself. So they took this story, and I think it's inspired by a real event, and they put that music to it. It's very folksy and bluegrass. And
yeah, because Steve Martin is so famous now for being a serious banjo player.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'd seen him play, and I was like, oh, he's good, but apparently he's actually really, really good to real musicians. And so that was pretty amazing. So when the show premiered, it workshops, and then...
Well, what's the show called?
Oh, sorry, it's called Bright Star. Rewind, Kara. Bright Star premiered on Broadway a few years back, and it featured Western Michigan University graduate and Kalamazoo native Hannah Ellis. That's her stage name.
Hannah. Has been a friend of ours for a long time. She performed in Farmer's Alley's very first season in the musical versions of Jane Eyre and the Great American Trailer Park Musical. She was in Blood Brothers for us early on as well, and we've just followed her career, you know, and kept in touch with her, obviously. She was on Broadway in the revival of Godspell. She's been doing premieres all over the country, shows like The Other Josh Cohen, mm-hmm. Somewhere in Time, Benny and June. And she landed this gig in Bright Star as one of the secondary lead characters. And she has this beautiful song called Asheville. She was performing on the Tony Awards. And the show was nominated. And it's this really wonderful story of love and redemption set against the rich backdrop of the American South in the 20s and 40s, where this literary editor, Alice Murphy, meets a young soldier home from World War II. And he awakens her longing for this child that she once lost. So it's kind of two different stories happening at the same time. It's her when she's sort of in her 20s, and this event sort of happens, and then her in her 40s now, sort of looking back at her life. And the music is just very hopeful and bright. I was going to say bright. luminescent. And it just fills you with, I want to say, like sunshine.
Yeah. Joy.
And joy. Again, this is another one of those stories that I think really lends itself to the black box theater space, being intimate. It's like you're going to be going to a cookout or something and telling stories around the campfire and slapping that bass and getting part of the action as well.
That's right. And there's probably going to be some banjo playing, too.
That's, I know. That's not every day you go to the theater and, you know, you get American Roots backing the story, backing the vocals.
And I have a feeling, Jeremy, and, you know, you've said this before already, but, you know, sometimes people come and see a show on Broadway, a big, you know, in a big Broadway house, something like Curious Incident of the Dog of the Nighttime or Fun Home. And there's something different about seeing it in a 100-space theater. There's something different emotionally. And I feel like Bright Star is going to be one of those shows where if people saw New York, they say, oh, I saw it in New York and I liked it, but I really got deep into it and the emotions dug into me when I saw it at Farmer's Alley Theater. That's at least my hope.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the powers of, you know, TV and film, right? Is getting to see the actors up close and seeing those eyeballs, you know what I mean? I mean, that's what we want. We want to look, the eyes are the windows to the soul, right? And so if we can see the stage actors up close like that, oh man, I think that's just incredible power there.
And we're incredibly lucky because Hannah has agreed to come in to Kalamazoo, not to play a role in Bright Star, but she's going to do a weekend concert for us right before Bright Star opens. She's going to have the ability to consult with our design team, to speak to the actors, to look at them and touch them and give them this amazing firsthand knowledge of the show. And we're so thankful to be able to bring her back. She's going to have, like I said, an event in May before Bright Star opens, which it does in June.
Well, I hope you also send invitations to Steve Martin and
sure.
Edie
well,
Pacal.
I mean, I'm we're basically 1 degree away from Steve and Edie, so
1 degree is better than two.
I'm with Rob Weiner and Jeremy Koch of Farmers Alley Theater. It's farmersalleytheater.com if you'd like to discover more about the season. If you're tuning in just now, we've talked about the productions from October until June, and there's still quite a bit more to cover. Let's look at July.
Yeah, our final main stage production of the season is a new rock musical based on the hit film and book entitled High Fidelity. And this was a movie starring John Cusack as a record store owner who is selling his vinyl records, etc. Is the last real record store on earth, you know, mm-hmm. who even buys records anymore. Right. Although it is making a comeback.
It is.
And it's sort of about his journey through love and heartbreak and all of his ex-girlfriends. There's a great cast of supporting roles available. Jack Black was one of the actors in the film. That was sort of his coming out party to all of us. And a great score. I mean, it's all original music written by the team that wrote Next to Normal, but it's infused with so many sounds of, you know, rock music like Bruce Springsteen and Stevie Nicks. And just there's all these great genres of song in that score. Very, very funny, witty, high energy. And it's something that we're really, really excited to produce in July of 2020.
I get by relying on the freaks who can't survive without their Japanese import or their Zappa 45. They're really kind of sad. Hell, I'd be making fun of them if it weren't for the fact I'm really one of them. Yes, if you're into vinyl, we've got everything essential. I'm sitting on a business that has zero growth. Decca, step into my Mecca. It's the last real record store on Earth.
You know, it's set in the backdrop of when vinyl was kind of like fading out, and it also makes a commentary on, you know, the over commercialization of the country too. But that was just a little extra tidbit there.
Yeah, they may call Walmart the Third Reich, but something like that.
Yeah, it was a painful period when a lot of the smaller stores were getting squeezed.
Yep. But you know, just that whole idea of going, you know, digging deep, you know, introspective, like we were talking about the cake earlier, you know, looking within yourself. I mean, Rob has all these ex-girlfriends and he ranks them like, who's my, you know.
The character Rob in High Fidelity, right. Not me, Rob.
That's right. No, you, Rob. No, not you. And he, you know, they all had these flaws, you know, it's like, he finally has to realize that he has to look within himself and say, wait, what am I doing that's messing up these relationships?
Yeah, maybe I was the problem.
What's the common thread here? And so he does. He looks within himself and he says, man, I've got to change my ways and I've got to figure out how to put somebody else first. And I think that's a really important lesson in today.
This is a brand new show that nobody knows, at least the musical version of it. And I'm telling you, the CD is awesome.
It is.
I go through the whole thing. I don't skip a song. It's a really sort of unproduced and unknown gem that, you know, like some of the other shows we've done here at Farmers Alley Theater, we're really excited about exposing West Michigan audiences to.
Absolutely.
The show starts July 24th through August 9th downtown at Farmers Alley Theater.
That'll be the final main stage production of our 12th season.
Yeah, just like 11 short months away. So
you make it sound.
Get your tickets now.
I know. You make it sound like you're thinking about it right now.
Oh, I am.
Well, we are.
Yeah. So before we go, there are still some special events as well as 3 offerings for younger people.
That's right. We're so proud to say that we have our most cohesive season ready to go. We sat down early and we decided on all of these main stage titles and these children's theater, or as we call them, Farmers Alley Theater for Young Audiences titles, are no different. We are going to kick off our young audience season in October with Naked Mole Rat Gets Dressed, The Rock Experience. So there's a very famous writer of children's books named Mo Willems, and he wrote a book called Naked Mole Rat Gets Dressed, and so this just plays on that, and it's all about, you know, feeling comfortable in your own skin, individuality, you know, not making fun of other people for being different, and just, you know, finding yourself in your own skin. It's cute, it's clever. 6 actors, or mole rats, I guess, if you will be telling the story, and it's got kind of a pop rock flavor to it. And we're really looking forward to it. Sandra Bremmer is going to be directing, and Lori Hatfield's our music director. And it's going to be Saturdays in October 12th, 19th, and 26th.
Yeah, you know, we've always wanted to have a children's theater, theater for young audiences component of Farmers Alley. We've had it here and there, and we're so blessed to have Sandra Bremmer on staff full time, sort of as our director of operations in the theater for young audiences space. We're also thrilled to be able to bring some of these shows to kids in their own school systems and to travel with them. And that brings us to our next show, which will be in the spring of 2020. It's a one-man show called Balloonacy, and it's about a man and his balloon. And it's wordless. It is mime. It's about the joy of play. And that's something that we're able to, you know, produce at Farmers Alley Theater and also be able to take on the road. So whoever that person is going to be, and there might be persons, there might be more than one actor who portrays the man with his balloon. It's going to be a really, really fun and unique experience because, I don't know, like the first like 45 minutes or something of the movie, like WALL-E, yep. There's like no words or something like that. Or some of these like episodes of like Frasier or something where there's no words or something like that. It's just so unique sometimes how you can find, you know, joy and laughter and sadness and all sorts of emotions without even saying a word.
It tackles loneliness, you know, feeling lonely, looking, needing a friend. It reminds me a little bit about Tom Hanks in Castaway, where he becomes friends with Wilson, the volleyball.
Yeah, there you go.
And so, you know, this balloon appears and you know, kind of becomes his friend. And yeah, he does. The joy of life is like reignited in him. We're really looking forward to Balloonacy.
Will this also be presented on a series of Saturdays?
Yes. Yep. Saturdays in March. The 21st and the 28th. And then we do want to take that into the schools as well. It should be one that we should be able to travel pretty easily with.
Yeah, so it's exciting because we've got, you know, Lost in Yonkers going on at the same time. So that Balloonacy will happen sort of on the Lost in Yonkers set. The Naked Mole Rat is going to happen somehow on the Camelot set. And between Sandy and Savannah Draper, who is our stage manager, there's going to be a great cohesion between the shows that are working at the same time. As well as in June, we have a musical entitled Three Little Birds, which features the music of Bob Marley and shares the legendary reggae artist's message of peace and love with a whole new generation of songbirds. That's going to be in June of 2020 on the 20th and 27th. And we do multiple performances on a Saturday. We do a 10 a.m., a 1 p.m., and a 3 p.m. So all these shows are sort of geared towards, I want to say, probably like elementary age students or maybe just a little younger. They're all going to be about an hour long. So it's the perfect introduction to a live theater, especially in, again, going back to that small, intimate 100-seat space.
You know, there's really nothing like the power of live theater. Sitting next to other kids, sharing that common experience, learning something, laughing, maybe crying, applauding. You know, you can't get that from your tablet or your smartphone. And we hope that that kids will see that and recognize that. And we really do want to create the next generation of theater goers and theater lovers.
I'm just picturing, you know, at that age, how you may get some run-ons.
We whenever we give a curtain speech, we always talk to them, you know, like they're, treat them with the respect they deserve as audience members, sort of let them know the rules a little bit as well. What was really fun is also after each show, they get a chance to mingle with the cast and take pictures if that's something that they want to do. And that's always like the faces. And we just did a production of A Year with Frog and Toad based on the Frog and Toad children's books this past summer. And to see those kids treat our actors and call them Frog and call them Toad. And, you know, they don't know. They think that's who they are, you know. So it's the joy of play and imagination.
And I do want to just add that, you know, one thing that we always try to do is make the show enjoyable for all ages.
That's
so
true.
If you do bring your kids or your grandkids or your nieces or nephews, the adults in the audience should love the show as well. But I also want to say that the unique factor with Farmers Alley Theater for young audiences is that we have adult actors performing the shows for children, as opposed to other theaters who have the children perform for the children. And so that just adds just a different, you know, it's just a different take. It's just a different flavor. But sometimes you can, you know, hit home the thoughts and the themes and the ideas of the play a little bit better with adult actors.
I'm with Jeremy Koch and Rob Weiner, and the whole season at Farmers Alley Theater is available online at their website, farmersalleytheater.com. Let's finish this time together by taking a look at the Spotlight series.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so our Theater for Young Audiences programs will be running in rep with our main stage shows, and these special Spotlight series events are going to happen in between some of the shows. So coming up first in November, which will occur between Camelot and It's a Wonderful Life, we're bringing in a all-male Carol King review entitled Carol's Kings. And it's three guys, and they play the piano, and they do all these wonderful arrangements of all of her hits, from, you know, I've Got a Friend to I Feel the Earth Move, The Locomotion, so many more, of course. And one of the creator of it is a young man who's been a friend to us for many years, DJ Bucciarelli, who we first got to know as an actor. He was Dickon in our production of The Secret Garden. He was Marty in It Should Have Been You, sort of the boyfriend role in that. And this is what he does back in New York. And he has created this boffo little set of songs here for
yeah, it's really
all over the country.
Taken off. I mean, he sells out. He does it on cruise ships or other venues in New York, all across the country. It sells out. He tells stories about Carole King, and it's just a different, again, just a different take. You know, so mm-hmm. we just do things, you know, and just shake it up a little bit at Farmer's Alley.
Yeah, and we found this. A lot of people just loved the beautiful musical that came to Miller.
Exactly, exactly. I saw it too, and I loved it. And you know, here's a chance for you know, just a little different take on it. A couple men who, you know, tenors who sing nice and high, just like, you know, and Carol's range, and telling the stories and singing those songs. It should be a dynamite evening.
So I would say Beautiful is a really full, hearty meal. And if you want a little more dessert, come see Carol's Kings. That's November 8th and 9th.
Looks like the next special event that you have planned between main stage shows occurs on a weekend in January.
Yeah, you know, one thing that, you know, Rob talked earlier about, mastery, or, you know, taking the next steps. And one thing at Farmers Alley Theater that I would love to do is create more original work. And this is one opportunity that we have to do that in Does Anybody Have a Map? Motherhood in Stories and Song. So some of the dynamic, powerful, smart, talented women in our lives are going to get together and create a special evening, two special evenings. So Julie Nemitz, Deneen Mulay-Koch, Whitney Weiner, and Nancy Stefanik are going to put their heads together and create something totally original, totally new, and totally fantastic through original monologues, music, and maybe even film. They're going to present the women's voice of Kalamazoo with stuffed with relatable humor and heartfelt poignancy.
So a fully original show being created right here. I'm sure
working on it right now. So I mean, I wish we could be a little more specific about what they're putting together, but it's going to be something I think that forms on its own when you put those many powerful minds together. I'm assuming it will have, you know, some songs about family, love, and motherhood that, you know, from musicals that we all love, including we're asking for submissions as far as original work or monologues or something like that.
Yep.
So it's going to be a really unique performance, unlike anything that we've ever produced here at Farmer's Alley Theater. And I think it's going to be really meaningful and touching to a lot of people, men and women, who will come and see that coming up this January.
It goes back to the storytelling idea. And so instead of, you know, selecting a script that tells a great story, we're going to go the other way. And we're going to say, you know, what is your story? You know, reach out to mothers in the community. What's your story? And everybody has a story. And put those together in a really unique way and present it to Kalamazoo.
Does Anybody Have a Map? Motherhood in Stories and Song runs January 17th and 18th at Farmer's Alley Theater. The final special event is called Lee Squared, and I've met one half of this Lee pair.
That's right. We're bringing David Maiocco back to play Liberace. As some of our fans might remember, David was here in April of 2018 and did an amazing one-man show telling stories about Liberace, playing the piano like nobody else can. He's extremely talented and a wonderful human being. We actually both went to the Boston Conservatory, so shout out to Boston Conservatory. And we're bringing him back. And so with Liberace, his nickname was Lee. And then he has a friend in New York, Chuck Sweeney, who does an impression of Peggy Lee. And so that's where we get the Lee Squared. And then put them together, and it's going to be lights out. They're going to pay tribute to the flamboyant Liberace, and then, of course, the sassy Peggy Lee with a heavy dose of camp and hilarity. You get all the hit songs, laughter, virtuoso playing. It's not to be missed.
I mean, as soon as Liberace ended, we had patrons asking, when is he coming back? So we knew we had to get him back to Kalamazoo as quickly
Absolutely.
As we could. And this is just the perfect opportunity for something to come in for one weekend. He's got this amazing show that the two of them have won all these, you know, cabaret and review bistro awards in New York City.
That's
for.
Right.
They travel around the country doing shows all over. And so to come back to Kalamazoo was something we knew we had to do. And so we're so thrilled that both David and Chuck will be coming for Lee Squared April 3rd and 4th of 2020.
If you've got Liberace fever, don't miss it. See what I did there?
Well, we're at the end of our time today with Rob Weiner and Jeremy Koch. Farmers Alley Theater's 12th season begins in October with Camelot. And I guess I just ask for final thoughts on the season, any things we should make sure to mention.
Sure. Well, I just want to say, if you're at all interested in any of these shows, I really encourage your listeners to become season members with us. We have many different ticket packages for all different kind of tastes. I also want to thank our season sponsor, First National Bank of Michigan. They are sponsoring the entire 1920 season schedule. So really want to thank First National Bank of Michigan for that. Our tagline this year is opening doors, opening minds. And when I go to the theater, and when I hope that your listeners come to Farmers Alley Theater, they come with an open mind. We open the door for them and let them sort of just lose themselves and let your mind go where we want to take it, because we're going to take you on a lot of different journeys, some fun, some joyful, some emotional, some dramatic, and it's all worth seeing and living in this scope that we call life. And what is life without art? And so I really think that this schedule appeals to a lot of people out there. And I do hope you'll come join us for a show at Farmers Alley Theater, no matter where you're listening from.
Kara, thanks for having us. I would just say that, you know, in this day and age where people are feeling, you know, sometimes lost or alone or disconnected or just kind of, you know, into their screens a little too much, or feeling like that there's a lot of ignorance or fear or hatred in the world, I think theater really does have the power to change minds or open minds or keep them open. And to, like Rob said earlier and that I've mentioned before, is to, you know, to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And I really do think that that is the key to, you know, solving so many of the world's problems. And not that we can solve them all, and not that, you know, our little theater is going to necessarily make a huge difference, but you know, that whole idea of think globally and act locally. And I think that if you come and see a show and you understand what it's like to be somebody else for a couple hours, I think that that can have a huge impact on your life and that you might pay it forward.
I think we do make a huge difference, because I think everybody's life is worthy of respect and worthiness. And so if we can change somebody's day from a bad day to a good day.
Absolutely.
If theater can change someone's outlook on something, if theater can give somebody a few hours of joy or solace or peace, then we're doing our job.
You got it.
Making us all feel more human.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks
again, Kara.